Well, I'm not preaching for you today. My father is. Brother Kaysen just came up to me this morning and asked me to introduce my dad to you, except that I don't know what I would say. My father is an elder and evangelist at the Church of Christ in Moulali. He's been working there for the past 24 years. He's been preaching for around, I think, about 30, 35 years or so. He gave up a good job with the government to become a full-time gospel preacher and has been doing that faithfully for the past several years. It's been a blessing for me to grow up, watch him, and see everything that he does in the kingdom of God. Our family has been blessed because of him, and I'm glad that you all get to hear him. We speak English, but we speak Indian English, so you probably have to give a little more attention than you would to an average American speaker. I'm glad that my father is here, and I hope, looking forward to hearing him.
Good morning to you all, and it's a great pleasure to be able to come here and visit you all and worship with you, the God that we worship in India. And God is worshipped all over the world. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to speak, and I was asked to talk a little bit about the work that I'm doing in India and how the Lord has done so many wonderful things in India. It would be a pleasure to share those things to give glory and honor to God. Thank you for having Bernard with you, and Bernard was very happy to be back in Huntsville, and especially with Jordan Park. As my son said, that I speak English but with an Indian accent, and I say a few things differently, so as he said, you need a little attention. I'm going to show you some slides in the beginning that talking especially about the two churches that I and my family were involved, and to show that how the churches have grown over the past few years. There is a lot to say in how the work has expanded all over India, but I would not have time to say all those things because we are in the hour of worshiping God. So we need to hear the word of God. This is the church at Gudur, which was established in mid-70s. My dad worked with that, and with his retirement money, he put the building there. And when the building was outgrowing, the number was increasing. So Brother Ed Harrell has helped to build this building by raising money from the individuals. You can see the growth of the numbers. And now they have financially also developed and are having pews, and the children will sit on the floor. And you can see the women will sit on one side and men on the other side. This is a culture in India. And we recently had a two-day Bible classes, day-long Bible classes, what you would probably call them as vacation Bible classes. So this was held, and this is the group. And the young men of this congregation, all of them will stay in the village because it is very close to Hyderabad city. So therefore, the families are growing, and there is a lot of potential in this village. There are 10 preachers in this village, and I have trained them, and they go and preach in 10 different congregations around this village, Gudur. This is a children class at Gudur. And two people were baptized on that day. This is Brother Ratnam baptizing them. And this is about the church at Moulali that I am working as a full-time gospel preacher and as well as serving as one of the elders in this congregation. This was in 96. There were about 20 people, including visitors and children. It would be 25 people. But the Lord has blessed our labors. And when we had this building, the number started growing constantly, And we had 100 in 2006 and about 130 in 2008. And now we have, the church is continues to grow. So, you know, we need to build an extra place. The land is very expensive, outrageous to buy in Hyderabad. So we have expanded on the top by almost double the size. And the church has not only increased in number, but also growing towards self-sufficiency. And we have spent about $45,000 to build the new building, and everything is paid off, and every money is from the members of the church. We have not taken money from the American brethren or the brethren from other congregations as well. So it's totally the church church money, and individual members have contributed. When the building was completed, and we had a grand inauguration of the building, about 1,800 people came from various congregations. We had a wonderful gospel meeting. Brother Ed Harrell preached a lesson, and then I preached a lesson. And it was very much encouraging for all the brethren to get together, sing praises to God, and to see the church can grow and be independent and self-sufficient. This is the children class with the teacher. And this is a middle school class and with the teacher. And the one in the middle with slight gray hair is Rajkumar. He's one of the deacons in our congregation. And these are the young adults in our congregation. And most of them have stayed in the city. That is the a great benefit for the congregation there. And these are women and girls in our congregation. And this is the whole congregation. Now we have 215 members in our congregation. Not only that, but we have 7 able men that are able to preach the truth. And 3 to 5 members go every Sunday to preach in other places, in other churches, every Sunday morning. We have 3 elders, Brother Wilson, Ratnam, and myself. And we have 4 deacons. You have seen the growth, you know, started from a small group and have grown rapidly. This is because we get many opportunities to preach on various occasions. So we encouraged our members to have what we call is a house prayer meeting on every Friday. So they will gather the people of their neighbors and then relatives, those who would otherwise not hear the gospel. So on the rooftop, you know, we have encouraged these meetings. So every Friday, at least 3 Fridays a month, this meeting is taking place. That will allow us to preach the gospel to others. Not only this, but there are every occasion, every social occasion would be a service. So this is an engagement recently held. And this is a marriage. Marriage is one of the great occasion to preach the gospel. And our marriage services, total service will take about 1 hour 45 minutes, in which usually a preacher will preach for 40 to 45 minutes. And that has given me a lot of new context to study with, and that has contributed for the growth of the church. So, you know, the smallest wedding would be like 300 people, and the larger wedding, average wedding, would be like 2,000 people. So that would be a great occasion to present the truth. This was a golden jubilee wedding anniversary of a couple, and my father-in-law passed away, and unfortunately he passed away as a Baptist without the hope. So they were asked, I was asked to preach at his memorial service. This is a naming ceremony. When a baby is born, you know, they will have a ceremony within 3 months, and they will name the baby then, officially declare the name. So I was, the couple was sitting on the right side of the screen. And this is a retirement Thanksgiving prayer meeting of one of our relatives. So I was given an opportunity there to preach as well. This is a preaching in a Baptist house prayer meeting, and I was asked to preach in there. So these are kind of opportunities to preach on occasions have brought many souls to obey the Lord. And this is Brother Ratnam baptizing in our members. And the gospel is so powerful, and if you present it, there are so many honest hearts who would like to obey the gospel. And there are some denominational people who are arguing about the church and, you know, the things that we do and the things that we don't do. So Brother Surendra and several other brethren have gathered the meeting, and 1,000 people have turned to that meeting, and about 20 denominational preachers have attended this meeting. So we have presented 4 lessons. I presented 2 lessons, and Brother Surendra and another brother presented the lesson. So this was a great occasion again to present the truth. This is in Bengaluru, and Brother Ed Harrell has held a debate on the institutional issues. That has given me a lot of opportunities to talk about the differences. So when I talk in Bengaluru about this, the whole congregation have accepted the truth, and they embraced the non-institutional doctrine. During the lunch break, I was talking to the young man on the left side with a colored shirt, and he said he had 2 wives, and he wanted to make his life right with God. So just a casual talk has led me to speak to him at an extensive length. And he called me one day that I wanted to obey the gospel, and would you please come and clarify some of the questions that I have. So I had to fly there suddenly and then talk to him, and that has resulted 6 souls being baptized on that day. So these are the 6 people that were baptized in Bengaluru on that day. This is another occasion. 2 denominational preachers were converted, and when they heard the truth and they followed the truth, and they went to their own congregations and baptized the people and turned those denominational church into the Lord's church. So the American brethren, Brother Ed Harrell and the other brethren, are coming every year in the month of January, and they teach preacher's classes for about 4 days. So all over India, these classes are held for 4 days, like, you know, 2-3 different places in the major cities. And this has been resulting for the growth of the church. So about 450 people this year heard the truth. This is in Coimbatore. Bernard preached a preacher's class in Coimbatore last year. He did very good, more than I thought. This is in Delhi. This is a Delhi congregation. This is in Bangalore congregation. So, you know, may God be glorified, because, you know, we are doing only what we could. And there are so many individuals and so many congregations in the United States are helping the work in India. Like, they support me and they support other preachers. And we are all working for the Lord. And God is the one who is giving increase. May He be glorified. So this is, and I request you to continue to pray for the Lord's work to grow. It might look to you like, you know, the church is growing rapidly in India. Although it is true, but it is not 100% truth, because, you know, we have 1.2 billion people. So when you compare the size of the church, it is still, so therefore, we need to still work hard and do whatever we can to spread the gospel. We are worshiping God. It's a wonderful blessing, because there are so many people in this world who think that they are worshiping God, but in vain they worship God. Because we are the ones who try to frame our worship according to the New Testament pattern and try to worship God in spirit and in truth, which is the true worship, and God is pleased in worship. So we are blessed to be able to worship God. The Bible is a message of love and hope. It is a message for all human beings. The message is for all human beings that they can have a relationship with the creator of this universe father-child relationship that they can have. He is the giver of life and breath to all. The Bible is filled with directions and instructions to our Heavenly Father's home. It is like a GPS to heaven. Yet many people are not interested in the message of the Bible. For some people, this is a book, a storybook, and for some people, they just don't care about this great book. The Bible is the most misunderstood, misapplied book in the world. Though many people claim to believe the Bible is being the Word of God, yet they fail to understand the central theme of the Bible. And thus, many people are misled. Why is so much confusion? Why so much misunderstanding? It is because some clergy people will claim or will teach that an ordinary person, a common man, cannot understand the Bible. Someone who had a theological degree, someone who claimed that they have a direct revelation from God, should be able to explain them, then a man can understand. Thus, they frighten the readers not to go to the Bible and try to find out the truth by themselves. Though the message of the Bible is plain and simple, there are so many people, they don't care the loving message of God. There, the clergy people sometimes claim that, you know, you cannot understand the Bible because there are some hard sayings in the Bible, hard words in the Bible, which needs little more explanation. But, you know, showing those things, they say that you cannot understand the Bible, so that the people are more and more depending on these religious leaders, the clergy religious leaders, to know the message of the Bible. So I want this morning bring 3 points regarding the hard sayings. There are some hard sayings in the Bible. Some are hard to understand, some are hard to do, and some words are hard to the ears just to accept and digest. Let us explore them. Number one, sayings hard to understand. As I said a few minutes ago, there are people who say the Bible is a mystery and we cannot understand the Bible. So you need to have some special degrees or special theology to be able to explain the Bible. And they quote 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. And consider that long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking of them these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. What is Paul saying in this passage? Some things are hard to understand. Are there some passages hard to understand? It looks so. For instance, Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Well, if anybody who never read the Bible, who doesn't know the message of the Bible, come through this passage and read, you know, he said, you know, I don't have that wisdom to figure out, you know, what this number 666 is. So in order to understand passages like this, one would have to understand the plain text. One would have to understand the message of the Bible. It is not hard when you understand the rest of the scriptures, but it is hard because when you try to apply the the literal meaning when it is highly symbolic. So there are some passages in the scripture written in symbolic language. But we need to understand to whom this book was addressed to, and what circumstances they were under, and what was the necessity for them to be given the symbolic language. If you understand this background studies and the culture and the circumstances in which people lived, it would be not hard to understand. So in order for us to understand this symbolism, we need to study our Bibles. The failure of many people today is they don't spend time to study their Bibles. Therefore, you know, they end up depending on the preachers, and there are many preachers who mislead the people. Therefore, the chaos is existing in this religious world. 666 is simply a failure mentioned three times. It's a failure, failure, failure. When the Lord's work, the kingdom of Lord, you know, the enemy tried to destroy it, but he utterly failed. So that is just to explain it simply, that is the meaning. And also, we consider when Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 54, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." The statement almost seems to sanction cannibalism. Yet we understand that it is not the case. The symbolism is very clear here. Nobody can conclude that Jesus literally telling his disciples to eat his flesh and drink his blood. The grammar used in this passage is a participles in present tense, which means he who eating or continues to eat or my flesh, and he who drinks my blood and continues to drink has eternal life. There is no way that, you know, one can conclude this. We know that the symbolism here, and everybody can understand this. So in order for us to understand, as I said before, that we must study our Bibles and give some time in our day-to-day life to study our Bibles. And also, we need to attend Bible classes on a regular basis, and also attend gospel meetings and worship services where the Word of God is read and explained and preached and taught. That will help us to understand the message of the Bible. But unfortunately, people do not study their Bibles. They read a passage or two, they think, you know, for their daily portion is done. Reading without understanding is no reading at all. So we need to spend some time and study the meaning, study the words, study the background, study the book, and try to understand the message. That will enlighten us in the Word of God, so that there would not be any hard sayings. Point number two, the hard sayings, there are some hard sayings to follow, to do. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21, this is an young man came to Jesus and asked what should he do in order to have eternal life, and Jesus told him to what it is written, follow the laws. And he said, you know, what? And Jesus said that, you know, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. And when he said then he said he has been doing that from his youth, and what do I lack? And Jesus told to him in verse 21, if you want to be perfect, go sell all what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. Well, this looks too hard to do. What would you do if Jesus told you to sell all what you have and give to the poor and come and follow me? Would you do that? It looks really hard to us, isn't it? If we ask a portion of what we have, then it would be all right. But if you say, you know, sell all what you have and give it to the poor and follow, I mean, it would be, if you really understand who Jesus is, who Jesus was at that time, it would not be hard, because he is the Son of God. All power is given to him in heaven and on earth. So, I mean, I give an example to my people in India. I don't know whether it will work here or not. Examples and humor doesn't work well, you know, in different languages and different cultures, but I'll try. If the President of the United States asks you to sell all what you have and just come and be in the White House, I would give a position. Would you do that or you wouldn't? I think we probably do that. But when the Son of God is asking you to do this, is it really hard? I don't think it is. But the problem is, you know, we don't totally trust God. Those who trust the Lord have given up all what they have. For example, when Jesus was walking on the Sea of Galilee, and he found some people, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and he called them, "Follow me." And they just left everything they have. They left their nets, they left their profession, and they followed Jesus. And see how their lives have been blessed. Their lives is not only a blessing for them, but their lives have been a great blessing for all through the generation, even till today, to us. So following Jesus, when you don't understand the power of God, it would look hard to us. But if we understand, it is not really hard. I'm not sure whether Jesus really meant for him to sell everything and follow him. But even if he did, you know, I think, you know, it's not hard. For this man, having a lot of positions, he said, you know, it was, he went away sorrowful, for he has great positions. You know, whatever we do in the name of God, we will not lose our reward. In Mark chapter 9, verse 41, Jesus said, Whosoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly, I say to you, he will not lose his reward. So, the disciples believing Jesus left everything and followed. And another hard saying along this line in the teachings of Jesus we find, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me is really hard to do. While the denominational people are promising the people, if you follow Christ, you would not have problems, you would not have diseases. Even if you have, you know, all these things will go away. So they're trying to attract the people with a false message. But what Jesus told, the message of Jesus is, you have to take up your cross and follow me. This looks difficult or hard to do, but what Lord meant is that carrying a cross is a burdensome, and it was disgraceful in those days. But so what Jesus is telling is to carry the cross, the figurative expression denoting that we must endure whatever burdensome in the name of Jesus. Or to be a Christian, whatever it is difficult, you need to follow. You need to bear your cross. You know, the end result is that you are going to be with the Lord in heaven forever and ever. So when you concentrate, when you focus on the reward that we are going to receive by taking up our cross and follow Jesus, I think, you know, it is still not hard. But finally, the third point that I wanted to bring in this lesson, and it is a final point, is hard to our ears. Hard to hear. The sayings, hard to listen, hard to the ears. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Well, if anyone tell you are not going to live, you shall die, it would be hard to listen, hard to digest, hard to grasp. There are people who do not want to talk about death, who do not want to think about death. In India, talking about death on any other occasion except death and funeral would be a great omen. They think, you know, why you are talking about death at this moment? But the reality is, death is inevitable. Death is real. Except those who are alive at the time of our Lord's return. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, after this, the judgment. So we have to face God in the condition that you live, in the condition that you die, in the condition that you leave this world. Whatever the condition that you are in, that you have to give an account to God when you pass away from this earth. And we do not know when death will knock at our doors. We hear the news every day. So many people are dying. So many terrorist activities are taking place. So many accidents are happening. And suddenly people are dying of either heart attack or, you know, the diseases or disasters, whatever. So we do not know when we are going to die. So it is a blessing to be able to know what death is, what is after death. So, you know, it is not a hard saying, hard to hear. For Christians who have hope in Jesus, hope of heaven, it is not hard for them. Because the Lord God whom we are serving will be with us throughout this life. And there are some people will be with us only till some extent. But the God whom we are serving will be there with us throughout this life. At the time of death, even after death, He would be there with you and escort you. Therefore, the psalmist said in Psalms 23rd Psalm, though I walk through the valley of death, I have no fear, because the Lord is with us. So for us, you know, as Christians, having a great faith in God and hope of heaven, the death is not something hard to hear. The other thing we hear about Ahijah spoke these words to Jeroboam's wife in 1 Kings chapter 14 verse 6. And so it was when Ahijah heard the sound of her footsteps as he came through the door, he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another person? For I have been sent to you with bad words." In King James Version, it says, "heavy tidings." In Telugu, it says, "hard tidings." So here is the Jeroboam's wife who is coming to the man of God, Ahijah, to inquire about her son who was sick. So she has pretended to be another woman and try to know what is going to happen to her son. So Ahijah here says that, "I have sent to you with bad words, with hard sayings." What are those hard sayings? We can read in the following verses, 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 7 through 10. "Go tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord of God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you a ruler over my people Israel and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet you have not been my servant as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart to do only what is right in my eyes. But you have done more evil than all who were before you, for you have gone and made for yourselves other gods and molded images to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel, bond and free. I will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as one takes away refuse until it is all gone." Why Jeroboam had to hear these hard sayings? You know why? Because he has set two golden calves in Dan and Bethel, and he wanted the people to worship here, these images. But God has already commanded his people to go to Jerusalem and worship God there and offer their sacrifices. But when the kingdom was divided, he thought that, you know, when people start going to Jerusalem, their heart will turn to the king and then the kingdom will go away from me. He doesn't have to fear those things because God gave him this kingdom. And majority of his people God gave to Jeroboam. Without realizing how he was blessed, how this position was given to him, he was trying to protect his kingdom with his own arrangements and doing things against the will of God. And he caused people to sin against God. Then he provoked God. Therefore, he had to hear these hard sayings. That everyone, every male in the family, in the house of Jeroboam is going to be destroyed. What a horrible thing it would be. So, in order not to hear such words, we must make sure that we do everything like David, only what was right in the sight of God. We should not do what is right in our sight, what is right in our opinion, what is right in the majority of the congregation's choice, but we have to always make sure that we follow the pattern. And we see, when we study the history of the church history, you know, people, the second generation and third generation, they slowly pivoted from the pattern and, you know, they have gone away from the pattern. And therefore, that is the result of so many denominations are existing today. So, we must make sure our worship, our way of life, our work of the church, everything should be according to the pattern that is explained in the New Testament. Finally, there is a great danger. For all of us, we might, if you are not careful, hear the hardest sayings of the Bible. The hardest saying. According to me, these are the hardest sayings that one could hear. That we read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. I think these are the most horrible words that one could hear. You know why? Because all through our life, we think and hope that we would go to heaven. When we face the Lord in judgment, we think that, you know, he said, you know, well done, my servant. Come and inherit the kingdom of heaven. We were hoping. There are people in this world who claim to follow the Bible, who believe the Bible, who teach the Bible. They think that they are going to hear these wonderful words from God. But in reality, when they face the judgment, you know, they would hear these words, I never knew ye, depart from me. What would you do when we hear those words? You cannot do anything except go to the eternal destruction. You do not have any choice at all. I want to just say a personal example and bring this lesson to close. I have traveled from Hyderabad to Mumbai to preach in Sunday morning services, and I was going back home. And I had a boarding pass, and I went to board the flight, and where they scanned my boarding pass, and it wouldn't scan, it wouldn't read. So he punched the numbers, and still it wouldn't recognize. So he looked at it very carefully and said, sorry, sir, you cannot go in this flight because you have tomorrow's ticket. So, I mean, when I was booking in hurry, some websites, you know, automatically select the next date. In order to book a cheaper ticket, you know, I went three or four times back and forth and tried to book the cheapest possible, in which, you know, it has automatically selected the next day. But when I went and the self-check-in machine, you know, I got the boarding pass also, but I did not go home. I told my wife I would be back home in about 2 hours, Lord willing, and I did not go with the preparation to stay overnight, but I was rejected at the last moment. I couldn't do anything but just go back and spend time the whole night and take a next day morning flight. I'm glad I had a choice to go back. I had an alternate. But when we face the Lord in judgment, we will not have a second chance. Therefore, I think, you know, these are the most horrible words. In order to not to face this kind of situation, we need to make sure that we come to the will of God. Try to find the will of God, which is not hard to find. If you have some difficulty, there are some men, godly men, knowledgeable men, who will guide you to the truth. But when you accept the truth and follow, you would do the will of God, and at the end, heaven will be our home. So, therefore, I believe there are no hard words in the Bible. Yet, there are some passages which looks to be hard, but if we really try to understand, they are not hard. If you do not know the rest of the scriptures, then these words will be hard to you. So therefore, let us not complain that the demands of our Maker are hard. For Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So let us allow the power of the Holy Scriptures to break the hardness of our lives and accept the sayings of the Bible and follow. I'm so thankful for the opportunity, and I hope that this lesson will be profitable to you. And if you are in this audience who never obeyed the gospel is same in India and in here as well. We have the same Bible, but in a different language. But the message is same, that you can be a child of God. It is a message that the Bible says that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if you obey the God of heaven and believe Jesus, the Son of God, and if you are baptized, your sins will be forgiven. You will be a child of God. And if you remain faithful for the rest of your life, and heaven is assured for all of us. So if you are in this audience who never obeyed the gospel, I urge you to obey while yet time, because we do not know when we will pass away from this earth and when the Lord will return. Therefore, we need to make our life with God. So if you have not obeyed the gospel, I urge you to obey. And if you are in this audience who have been a Christian but not living as you should, as required by the Lord, then I urge you to repent and make your life right with God as we stand and sing.